is Mike Rosen admitting to being a racist? Was that what he was doing on KOA? Clear Channel Station in Denver, 50,000 watt. Mike Rosen, the morning local talk guy. Are you saying he was admitting to being a racist? This is interesting. Mike Rosen explains why Germans, so many Germans, went along with killing Jews in response to an email he got asking if he would have kept blacks as slaves in America. And he said, yes, he would have, you know, under the historical circumstances back in the 1850s, if he were a governing official. So we'll get to that in a moment. And also the news out of Wichita, George Tiller's wife has decided to permanently shut down his abortuary with the incinerator inside. Have you seen the GeorgeTillerMemorial.org website? You owe it to yourself to see the GeorgeTillerMemorial.org. And by the way, you could type in anything you remember. When you get to a computer, just type it in and that website will pop up. RememberingGeorgeTiller.com, RememberTiller.com, GeorgeTillerMemorial.com, TillerMemorial.org, whatever. The GeorgeTillerAbortionFund.com, the GeorgeTillerMemorialFund.org. Just type it in and you'll see the stunning memorial online with the photographs taken by permission. The photos were taken with the permission of George Tiller inside his abortion clinic, and the photos and a handwritten letter from one of his customers have also been used by permission in the American Right to Life website, the GeorgeTillerMemorial.org. And by the way, Georgia Right to Life is now linked to the American Right to Life Tiller Memorial site. So that's encouraging. The Georgia Right to Life organization is one of the best in the country, solidly supportive of personhood, and they have a phenomenal Holocaust Memorial wall. They compare it to the Vietnam Wall Memorial, and if they put the same number of names for every 10 feet that the Vietnam Memorial Wall has, the Vietnam Memorial Wall is 500 feet long. Imagine all that tragic loss of life. Well, if we made an American Holocaust Memorial Wall, how long would the wall have to be? Not 500 feet. It would have to be 81 miles long, and you could see it in their animation. It's just devastating. So powerful. And the Tiller Memorial website links to the memorial wall. So you'll want to see all of that. If you forget all of that, just go to AmericanRightToLife.org and you'll see the links there. The new discovery about dinosaurs, this is big. It's out in an evolutionary technical journal today. Researchers at Oregon State University said they pretty much have proved that birds have not evolved from dinosaurs. I said, pretty much we can throw out that theory. This is published today in the Journal of Morphology, and it's based on research at Oregon State University, all by evolutionists. And they say that this report, and it's based on a fundamental new discovery about bird morphology, how birds live, how their bodies function. And it is so unlike dinosaurs that they say this research adds to the other evidence that may finally force many paleontologists to reject their long-held belief that birds are the direct ancestors of dinosaurs. So much for that theory. I mean, Darwin's Tree of Life, that was thrown out. What was that, 3 months ago? Just thrown out on the trash heap of disproved ideas. That's Darwin's Tree of Life. So evolution is a theory in crisis, and that's because it's false. We have my sentencing. I'll be sentenced tomorrow in Colorado Springs by a Colorado Springs judge as a member of American Right to Life. American Right to Life held a protest that focused on the family in the fall when Dr. Dobson had announced he was violating his pledge he made before God. And we went there to beg him to beg Focus on the Family. First, don't break the oath you made before God. And secondly, if you do sin against God by breaking your oath you made, then please don't continue broadcasting that oath on your radio show and in your welcome center. We realize that oath makes Dr. Dobson look like a Christian hero who is 100% principled and completely devoted to God and the innocent. We realize that, and so it's a good PR piece. But since Dr. Dobson, you have admitted, and the leaders at Focus on the Family have admitted in writing, and they've admitted in interviews that Dr. Dobson, you have violated that oath, then please stop broadcasting it. Please stop playing it daily in your welcome center, because it's an insult. You're mocking God. To do this, what? For what purpose? For fundraising? Because it's a good PR tool? And so we went to beg Focus on the Family to stop playing that oath, take down that oath from the Welcome Center video, but they refused. It still plays to this day. And tomorrow, June 10th, 2009, I am scheduled to be sentenced along with other members of American Right to Life, Ken Scott, you know, Ken and Joe Scott, pro-life leaders in Colorado, and my brother, Brian Enyar. There were about a dozen of us at the protest. There were 8 arrests, and it's come down to 3 of us who were convicted in a jury trial on May 8th, and tomorrow is the sentencing. So certainly you could feel free to talk about that. Now, tomorrow's show is going to be fascinating, absolutely fascinating, and it'll be the day of the sentencing. So you want to tune in for that. And then later in the week, next week, we'll find out. I have no idea what kind of sentence the judge will issue. The city attorney down in Colorado Springs has asked the judge to give jail time to Ken Scott and to Bob Enyar. Now, my brother, Brian, he's a bit smarter than we are, and he negotiated already an agreement that they cannot sentence him to jail. So good for him. That's great. And the city attorney said, Your Honor, we're going to ask for jail time for Bob Enyar and even more jail time for Ken Scott. And I looked over and I nodded, and I could go with that. And Ken gave me a jab. I'm like, Ken, I don't want to go to jail for as much time as you're going to go to jail. So anyway, we don't know what the judge will do, but there is a possibility that I will have the honor of going on a full-time government-funded jail missions trip. Jail ministries are not only very profitable, but they have a great legacy going all the way back. When were the earliest jail ministries? When did they start? With Chuck Colson? Oh, no, he's against the death penalty. He's a nice guy. He was all confused, though. Don't they go back to New Testament times? Wasn't there evangelism going on in the book of Acts? Didn't the Apostle Paul win his jailers to the Lord? Jesus was in jail. In fact, I've been in the cell he was in. I've been in that cell. And there's overwhelming archaeological evidence that that is the complex of the high priest in the old city of Jerusalem, in Zion. And, I mean, they found an inscription to where the high priests would basically profit from animals that were brought to be sacrificed. And that inscription in stone is part of a 2,000-year-old complex. And beneath the complex, underneath it, was a prison carved out of solid rock. And so it was excavated about 100 years ago or so. And you could go there today. And we know it's a prison because, well, there was no doorway or stairway. You were lowered into it from a hole in the room above. You're lowered in, and there's rooms carved out of solid rock, and there are tunnels, tiny little tunnels, like pipes, but only little tunnels that you could put your arm through. And you wouldn't put your arm through it. They would put a chain through it. So they tunnel through the wall, through solid rock, and they'd put chains through them and tie up the prisoners there. It was a prison. And it's in the complex of the high priest, Caiaphas, and Annas, his father-in-law. And that's where the Lord was taken from the Mount of Olives, Olivet, on a short walk, led by the guards of the high priest, to Caiaphas's home. And there he was incarcerated until he was brought to Pilate, and then Herod, and then Pilate again the next morning. So I've been in that cell where the Lord Jesus was. So the idea of a jail ministry goes way back. I mean, Peter and John, they were in jail, right? How many of the apostles were eventually arrested? John, the apostle John, he was on the island of Patmos. He was exiled for many years. And you go back before that to the time of the Old Testament, and you have the prophets like Jeremiah, who's holed up in jail. And Daniel was arrested, and he was thrown into the lion's den. Thankfully, he was supernaturally rescued. You go back earlier, Joseph. Joseph was arrested, and he had a ministry in jail. And so the concept of a prison ministry, a jail ministry, is it's an honorable legacy, and it goes back throughout most of human history. And the real hardcore jail ministry, I have friends who do jail ministry every week. They've been doing it. I have one dear friend in Oklahoma who's run a jail ministry now for 10, 15 years. Tremendous work. John Easley used to be with Promise Keepers. And John Easley's one of my heroes. I've got other friends here in the Denver area who have a weekly jail ministry. And these are, it's very honorable. Now, the biblical jail ministries, Jesus told us, go visit the prisoner in jail. Visit. Have concern. Don't let anyone be a forgotten person. But the hardcore jail ministries were always from within the cell. You're always on the other side of the locked door or the chains. Those were the hardcore jail ministries. Paul wrote, what, four of his epistles from in prison? At least four is prison epistles. So Paul writes, obey the governing authorities. And he's thinking about that when he's in jail. And yeah, as a general rule, we are to obey the governing authorities. But if you read the Hebrews Hall of Faith, Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews Hall of Faith, about half of the people listed there are people who disobeyed the governing authorities. They disobeyed. And any number of them were arrested, punished, executed. And they disobeyed the government by faith in God. As Peter said, we must obey God rather than man. So as a general rule, you obey the government. And when obeying God causes you to disobey the government, then you disobey the government. And so we are being sentenced tomorrow. And of course, you're welcome to come on down. It's the Colorado Springs Municipal Court, 1:30 in the afternoon, Division 4 on East Kiowa. I think it's 224 East Kiowa. We've been there a dozen times in pretrial hearings. And so you'd be welcome to come on down. And it should be obvious, I hope, why American Right to Life would hold this event. Why would they hold this protest? Well, think about, this is just an example, right? Let's go to Mike Rosen. Mike Rosen, last week, was asked a question about Barack Obama's judicial nominee. Well, I haven't talked about her much. What's her name? Sonia Sotomayor? Is it Sonia Sotomayor? Is that it? A racist for hire. She belongs to some group called The Race. And she's a racist. Right? And there's one Christian leader out there today saying, oh, well, she's a Catholic, so she's probably pro-life. It's like, hello? Have you ever noticed that most of the Supreme Court is Catholic and they're not a one of them believes in the God-given right to life of the unborn? Not a one of them. So I wouldn't put much stock in a Catholic lawyer. I wouldn't put much stock in a Protestant lawyer. I wouldn't put much stock in any lawyer. Maybe I'd consider putting a lawyer in stocks, but I wouldn't put stock in him. All right, so Mike Rosen is asked about Sonia Sotomayor, and he said that he believed, and he's the number one Colorado radio talk host, the largest ratings. He's on the Rush affiliate, KOA, the Clear Channel 50,000 watt station in Denver. And by the way, when we travel, I go camping with our boys up in the mountains quite often, and I'll put on our station, KLTT, and I'll ask the boys, which station comes in more clearly? I put on 670 AM, then I'll put on 850 KOA. And they'll say the first one. Because we do. We're a more powerful signal. We're also 50,000 watts, but we're lower on the AM dial. So KOA is the hair blower of the Rocky Mountains. I mean the blowtorch, or the hair blower. Actually, they got a very powerful signal because at night they stay full strength, whereas many radio stations go to low power at night because of the way AM radio signals bounce off the atmosphere to keep from interfering with other cities' stations. But anyway, KLTT, we're on a 50,000 watt station. This is the most powerful Christian radio station in America, and it's got a stronger signal when I'm on during the day than KOA. So praise the Lord for that honor to be on this station. And for all these years, I started on KLTT back in 1991. So it's been quite a few years, 5 days a week on radio or TV somewhere in the country, most of the time right here out of Denver. All right, so Mike Rosen was asked about his belief of original intent in interpreting the Constitution versus those who believe in a living Constitution. And a listener emailed Mike Rosen and asked him, and I don't know that this listener would be someone from our audience, but we do have the brightest audience in the country. And I can't tell you how many times in 18 years when some fascinating caller challenged someone on a talk show, and then when the show was over, we get an email or a phone call here at Bob and Yurt Live, and hey, Bob, you know me. I listen to your show. I'm from Little Rock, and I just called in and talked to Ron Paul when the founder of YouTube was interviewing him. And like, oh, yeah, great, and great questions. So I don't know if this guy is a member of the brightest audience in the country, but he emailed Mike Rosen, and Mike read the question on the air, and he said, if you were a judge, Mike, back in the 1850s, would you have ruled in the slavery case of Dred Scott for the slaves or against the slaves? How would you have ruled? And Mike Rosen said, that's easy. I would have followed the law and the Constitution and voted to uphold slavery. So are you saying that Mike Rosen was admitting to be a racist? Is that what he was doing? I mean, could you imagine the horror of a black child growing up owned as property and being told, look, you're not allowed to read. You're not allowed to learn how to read. That's against the law. If you read the Dred Scott decision, that's one of the many laws they quoted to say that what they were ruling, that as a general rule, whites had the right to continue to own blacks, that they were ruling consistent with the Constitution and the laws in the early colonies. And they quoted those laws. There were so many laws against blacks. For example, laws making it a serious crime if you tried to teach a black person how to read. That was a serious crime. And they quoted all these racist laws, and they said, therefore, we're going to uphold the Constitution, and we're going to force Dred Scott to be returned to his slave owner. Even though Dred Scott had made it to the North, and he had allies saying, okay, now he's a free man because he escaped. And so the U.S. Supreme Court, in one of our most wicked moments in our history, the U.S. Supreme Court used their authority to continue the crime against humanity, the racism, the barbarity, the cruelty, the denial of the right to liberty of countless blacks in this country. And Mike Rosen said, I'll be one of those because I don't believe in right and wrong. I believe in following the rules. I blindly obey orders. It doesn't matter if the orders lead to the slaughter of the masses. It doesn't matter. I just follow the rules. And so Mike is explaining to us, he's illustrating, he's Jewish, right? Is Mike Rosen Jewish? He's illustrating why the average German, when called upon, went ahead and helped with the slaughter of a million Jewish families in Germany. He's illustrating why. Because theirs was not to question whether this was an innocent human being whose rights were being summarily discarded. That wasn't their job. Their job was to uphold the law. And so Mike Rosen is telling us he would have been part of the machinery in Germany to slaughter the innocent given the opportunity because he has no heart. He has no foundation of right and wrong. His foundation is process. And if in the process Jews are considered property, then so be it. Hey, I have a cushy life. I've got a good paying job. I've got a nice house. But do you think if the law was that his own daughters would be sold into slavery, do you think he would have upheld that? Of course he wouldn't. But do you think he would have upheld it if it was some black kids that were in bondage? Would he have upheld it? Of course he would. This is the same Mike Rosen who tells us that there are some pretty good porn sites on the internet. Same Mike Rosen. Let's go to the phones, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278 in Garden City, Kansas. Dean, welcome to Bob and Yart Live.
Hey, Bob.
Howdy.
I just want to call you and tell you that when they sent the little car up there on the moon to pick up the rocks.
Yeah, the lunar rover.
Yeah, my wife's uncle worked for Jet Propulsion Laboratories in Los Angeles.
Wow, JPL.
And he's the one that designed the antennas that was on that car.
Wow, that is so fascinating, Dean.
And he said when they brought the rocks back and they tested them, they was less than 10,000 years old.
Well, you know, Dean, there are hundreds of ways to estimate the age of the solar system, the Earth, galaxies. And those hundreds of ways, almost all of them, show a young age for the Earth and our solar system. For example, the existence of short-period comets in the solar system. They shouldn't be there for a million years.
Yeah, I met Ken Ham.
Yeah.
In Silver Spring, Maryland in 1992 when we was there.
All right.
At my sister-in-law's church.
All right.
And he was there, and
he's been a hero. He's been a hero of the creation movement.
Yes, he is, and I got his book autographed. You know, The Lie of Evolution.
Yeah.
And I told him, I said, you know, there's stories going around that he accepted Christ before he died.
Oh, Darwin?
Yeah.
Yeah, those stories are not true.
He said that's a lie. He said that's something that his wife put out, you know, so people wouldn't feel so angry against him.
Yeah, actually, it wasn't a wife, but one of his female cousins, I think.
Yeah, and he told me that that the guy was buried under the Church of England.
Oh, yeah, that's absolutely true.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in the, what is the name? The Westminster Abbey. He's buried in Westminster Abbey.
Yeah, and Jim LaHaye and Beverly LaHaye was there, and Jim LaHaye was our Sunday school teacher.
Wow, you've got quite a story here, Dean. They now have those books that have sold, what, over 10 million copies? The Left Behind series.
I've read them all.
And, you know, regardless of what your eschatology is, we should recognize that those books have encouraged a lot of people to take Jesus Christ seriously and have led to a lot of salvations.
Yeah, I know.
All right, Dean, we're about out of time. Anything else?
All right. Well, I just want to tell you, God bless you, Bob, and keep up the good work. And I'm definitely against abortion. My daughter started to go do that because I was a deacon. She didn't want to embarrass me. And I said, you don't worry about me. God will take care of me. I believe it's murder no matter what. Mm.
All right. Hey, Dean, thank you so very much for calling.
Okay. Keep up the good work, Bob.
All right. May God bless you. So we are about out of time now. So Mike Rosen, speaking about Sonia Sotomayor, says that, sure, he would have voted to keep blacks as slaves. Why not? That's the process. And you see, that's one of the most wicked times in American history, one of the most. And you've got someone who supposedly is respectable, who says, I would have voted to rob blacks of their liberty because that was the process. And it's just like Germans who find excuses because, you know, the Jews were outwitting them at banking. And so they find some excuse to side with the wickedness of their history. It's perverse. And that's why we need a foundation. Without a foundation, you know what a Christian leader would do? A Christian leader would make a pledge to God and then, a few years later, think his own pledge was a bad idea and break his pledge to God and still use it as a fundraising tool and a marketing tool. That's what we do without a foundation. Because Christians by the millions have been taught that our nation will only get better if we all compromise on God's principles. That's the legacy of Focus on the Family, and that's why we'll be sentenced tomorrow. Come on out if you'd like to, and Maranatha, what a great school. And God bless you.